Welcome to CIO Leadership Live. I'm Lee Rennick, Executive Director, CIO Communities for CIO.com. And I'm very excited to welcome Sri Adusulami, Chief Information Officer of TruckPearl. So Sri, would you please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your current role?
I've been with TruckPearl for the past 3+ years, right? TruckPearl is the largest independent distributor of automotive truck parts. We have about 150 plus locations in both US and Canada. Little bit about me, I've been in the industry for 25 plus years, right? Working with both private and public companies, mostly on value generation, right? My expertise is in business transformation for value generation.
That's fantastic. Thank you for sharing that. And that's a really key to most CIOs who are running, you know, technology in their organizations is how to create value. So I really appreciate you joining us here today, Sri. We've created this series really to support the CIO and the senior technology leader in their leadership and business journey. So the first question I ask, and I ask everyone this question, could you please tell us a little bit about your own career path and maybe provide some insights or tips on that road path? Are there any lessons learned that you could share?
Sure. Yeah, that's a good question. I started my career as a programmer and very proud of it because I started from as a programmer. And then I was fortunate enough to have really had the opportunity to work across multiple departments within IT. I was everything from project manager to cybersecurity to operations to enterprise architecture, right? I think that gave me like a unique set of skills as I lead the department now, because I have the credibility, I can speak within all the departments within IT and understand what their perspective is and give my input as well, right? The tips for, at least that worked for me, that I say is two things, right? The two C's, I say, collaboration and continuous learning. So I tend to like spend a lot of time whenever I have the time to read the books. That includes both technology and business strategies, right? Collaborating with the business stakeholders and understanding them and learning continuously is one of the key criteria for me to be successful.
Yeah, I appreciate you sharing that very much. And, you know, when I speak to a lot of CIOs, they're talking about what you're exactly, you know, speaking about, which is, first of all, I think you had a head start because you were learning different parts of the business almost from the beginning, right? Even though you had that computer programming training, which is very unusual, right? So I think that led you into then this opportunity to collaborate with the business and with the business leaders. And it sounds like, you know, those two tips that you provide are really very good ones for those looking at building their career into management within any industry, really.
That's right. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. Well, we had a chance to connect a little while ago to talk about some of the work that you've worked on. And certainly, you know, I just hosted a roundtable in Canada last week. And, you know, we were talking a lot about legacy systems and those types of things. And you really do have an extensive technology background here. And, you know, I read an opinion piece recently at CIO.com about legacy systems and how they contain valuable data and they host really important business functions and processes, yet they really do require facilitation to support new applications and modernization, which so many leaders are going through. You mentioned to me when we chatted last that you had worked on a modernization of a legacy system, which transformed close to 90% of the business process, which is huge. Congratulations. So I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit more about your approach to that as a technology leader.
So the approach is simple, right? I always take the 4-step approach, which is, you know, where are we now? Where do we want to be? How do we get there? And did we get there? So my journey always starts with, like you said at the beginning, right? Understanding the current state of IT first. Everything, and I don't consider legacy systems to be always updated. To me, legacy, like you said, legacy systems have a lot of advantages. Like they're typically very stable. They host lots and lots of data. And they have some processes that might be unique to the business that might be a competitive differentiator as well, right? Now, that being said, to me, I look at it as an overall architecture perspective, right? Because they do have some disadvantages, which is typically to support it over time because the limited resources, the newer generation, typically they tend to learn the newer technologies. So the support for the legacy systems is very difficult to get competent people to support them as we go along. The second problem I have is the architecture of it, right? How do you, they don't typically integrate well with the modern systems. So with those in mind, I tend to understand and document the current architecture of with the strengths and weaknesses of IT. The second point is, where do we want to be, right? And that's where the business, you spend time with the business to understand their goals, their strategies, you understand the marketplace, and try to see what the future state has to be. And then the third point, how do we get there, which is the most challenging, right? You try to develop a roadmap of achieving those future state that is required by the business. But for that to happen, you need to understand the gaps that includes for both all people, process, and technology. In this case, legacy systems has to be mostly updated to achieve that goal. And the fourth step is, did we get there, right? Are the KPIs that can be evaluated to ensure that we are meeting the business strategy and goals, right? It's a never-ending iterative process. You cannot just say, okay, I've done it, I'm happy. That's not the case. It's an iterative process that continues. So that's the approach for me. It's just simplify it, understand these. You don't have to reinvent the wheel because there are frameworks in place for it. You follow the frameworks, listen to the business, and then develop the IT roadmap that's effective and practical.
Yeah, I love that approach. And again, looking at that dinner I hosted last week, there was one CIO who said, I went through this huge transformation, which obviously you have. You've developed and transformed close to 90% of the business process. So he said, now this is our next stage is a stage of stabilization. But knowing that, as you said, it's an ever-evolving process, which leads very well into our next question, because I'm asking every CIO I interview about generative AI. It was 3 months ago it came out, 6 months, 9 months, now it's been a year and a half or so, I think maybe a bit longer. So there's a lot of talk about that Gen AI transforming business. We just spoke about transforming legacy systems. So was wondering what you believe might be the key benefits and challenges, for these types of technologies to advance business, positive business outcomes, specifically through Gen AI. Any tips for any other CIO or technology leader out there on how organizations should build and adopt plans for Gen AI?
As a technologist, Gen AI excites me because I think this is one of those technologies that comes very rarely that could really transform, right? Because we always get excited at every technology, but this, I think everybody agrees, is something totally different. That being said, I take an approach of a cautious approach because I'm sure you heard as well, our audience heard as well, there are people who have gone in this journey and actually had a lot of issues. One of it is this, without naming the names, like the airline went with their chatbot and had issues with it. There are people who used AI to, I think, narrow down some candidates, and there was some bias based on that. So there are challenges, which is good to know because every evolving technology has strengths and weaknesses. And as long as you are aware of it, and have a cautious approach of conducting a POC and then implementing slowly, I think is a good approach. Now, that being said, there's a second part of it, right, which is the regulations. I think it's going to take some time for us to mature in this field because I think last month the White House said that they gave guidance for federal agencies how to and not to use AI. I know a couple of states in the US now have their own regulations that are coming up. And I think this is going to be an evolving regulatory requirement. And I would say it's going to take a minute for us to really mature in this field. So as you spend a lot of time and money and develop these new capabilities, we need to be aware of what is going to come up in that field as well. Because you don't want to go back and ask for more funding again and again and again to redo those applications or redesign them. So having this cautious approach, but whereas also looking at the regulatory requirements that are already there and that we expect to come up, and develop this in a cautious manner is, in my opinion, a better approach.
It sounds like a very good approach. And it reminds me a little bit of, you know, data and data sovereignty based on states, countries, you know, all of that stuff. It's like it we'll have to look at those same type of probably similar models, because let's face it, Gen AI is dealing with data anyway, right? So there's probably that approach there already, but adding on another level will probably make a lot of sense. So I appreciate that, those insights. You know, really, we had a chat and I wanted to touch base on building teams. It's top of mind for so many CIOs. You know, a lot of CIOs I speak with talk about building elite teams that are diverse and they hold skills that extend into things like security. Some often say to me, you know, we just can't hire the appropriate people to deal with security. So there's a real fine balance now in building teams. Could you tell me a little bit how you approach building your teams?
I'm really glad you asked that question, right? We have the technology, we can talk about strategy, but at the end, you can't really deliver anything unless you have a good supporting team. To me, it's like an art and a science, right? It's not straightforward. You tend to have four different roles in each team, right? People with who are doers, who like to do and deliver them. People who think outside the box and come up with some innovative ideas. And to contradict it, you need also people who challenge everything, right? And question everything. And then the fourth, you also need leaders, right? Who can manage all these together, all these personalities who can bundle together. Now, with all those roles together, you also need to have a proper team dynamic. So that's why I said it's an art and a science. And on top of all this, you can't just say, okay, we have a team. You need to really engage the team, keep them engaged, understand their strengths, their weaknesses, their goals, and listen to them on a continuous basis to make sure that you have the person in the right team who can achieve their goals, who are passionate in the field they're put in or in the subject they have, so that they can deliver the outcomes in a successful manner.
Well, I really like that approach and I thank you for sharing it. I know that'll be useful to others that might be listening to this. And I really thank you so much for joining us today, Sri. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you, Ray.
Thank you so much. And if you're interested in listening to this or other interviews for CIO Leadership Live, we'll have a link in our series. Thanks so much.